Say, Lord Jesus, I have eyes to see. I have ears to hear what your Spirit is doing and releasing in me. Amen. Because this is Mother's Day, I had a little bit of a snap vision that came into my heart, and I kept saying, okay, God, why are you bringing this out on Mother's Day? And he said, clearly, I'm trying to make you see what the natural mind prepares for and what my Spirit is ready to do if you trust in me. So, one of the last times that my mother and I went to Canada together, we had just lost one of her older sisters. And my mother's younger sister comes out of the bedroom. She's preparing dinner or breakfast or whatever we're doing. And she has a photograph of my aunt about 2 days before she died in her bed. And she says, I had one of these made for you. And I take the picture and I look at it, and of course, all you can see is death on my aunt's face. I said to my aunt, I can't accept this picture. She says, what do you mean you can't accept this picture? I said, well, it's not what I really would like. This is a photograph of my aunt losing her old body. And it's full of darkness. I said, I'm waiting when we can have some pictures made when we're together. She says, oh, come on now. And like a corrective teacher, you know. Oh, come on now, she says. We're not going to have another picture of her. I said, oh, yes, we will. So I gave her back the picture, and she didn't take it, so I put it on the kitchen table. I wasn't going to hold it. My mother's sitting across from me, like where you are, and she's rocking away, and my aunt is like in the corner where the stove and the kitchen sink is, and we're not going to have one of those confrontations, okay? She's coming from her Catholic background, and I'm coming from Holy Ghost background. So I said, Auntie, what are you saying when you said we'll never have pictures again? I said, that picture of your sister, she's in her 80s. She's got a brand new body. She says, oh, come on. I said, Auntie, look. She believed in Jesus, just like me and you. I says, you were in the nunnery for 50 years. I don't need to preach to you about the resurrection. She says, well, this is very strange. I said, no, it's not. I said, when Jesus came after Pentecost, he appeared to them, and he was hungry, and he wanted something to eat. So what would be wrong to have a picture of him eating a piece of cake? She says, oh, you're ridiculous. And so, you know, I pull back a little bit, and you know when the Holy Spirit is going to just shove you a little more? Well, I got shoved. I said, Auntie, listen. I said, you're acting just like Thomas. She says, I am. I said, you remember Thomas? He wasn't there the first time, so he thought all the others were fakes. Oh. I said, you remember when Jesus showed him his holes in his hands and in his feet and showed him where he could put his hand? Oh, she says, you're not being fair. I said, I'm pushing your buttons. And I'm telling you, Auntie's got a brand new body and she looks a lot better than in that picture. And I don't want that picture because it represents the old. And I'm focused on who she is now. Oh, she says, I never thought of that before. And I said, okay, Auntie, we're going for a ride. We're going to believe that when we sit down for dinner, that if God allows her to come and manifest with us, that I will be able to see her and you and I can take pictures. And we didn't go that far because I knew. But that's where I wanted to go. That's where I wanted to say. I wanted to say more, and the Lord says she'll never be able to digest it. She's going to look at you right, like you are a fool. So don't make a fool of yourself. The seeds have been put in. And the seeds I will water, because I want to water them. I want them to grow. I want to put them in the sunshine. Got it? So I want to take you to 1 Corinthians 15, because today, those of you who have a mother or a grandmother on the other side, it's time to get a photograph in your heart of what that grandmother or that mother or that aunt that maybe was special to you is going to be special again, but in a different way. I pray for a new vision today in Jesus' name. So I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians 15:42 is where we're going to start. 15:42. So it is with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable and decays. That's my aunt's picture. The decayed condition of a person that's about to cross over is not pretty, okay? But the body that is resurrected is imperishable, immune to decay, and immortal. Now, I'm using the Amplified because there's a few little hints in the Amplification that I pray will help. That's confirmed in Daniel 12:3. It is sown in dishonor and humiliation. It is raised in honor and glory. It is sown in infirmity and weakness. It is resurrected in strength and endued with power. Look at the change. It is sown a natural physical body. It is raised a supernatural, a spiritual body. As surely as there is a physical body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. An individual personality, the last Adam, Christ, became a living or life-giving spirit. He is a life-giving spirit. Restoring the dead to life. Now, my aunt couldn't handle this piece of information because I believe it was never preached. Because I was in the church where she was in, and never once did they talk about what our future would be, except maybe on Holy Week, once in a while on Easter Sunday. 46, but it is not a spiritual life which came first, but the physical and then the spiritual. So we're still in cycle one. Cycle two is available when we leave this body. Verse 47, the first man was from out of earth, made of dust, earth minded. That was the part that I wanted you to kind of look at. Earth minded. In other words, our mentality is of the physical earth. The second man is Lord. The Lord from out of heaven. Genesis 2:7. Now those who are made of the dust are like him. who was first made of dust, earth-minded again. And as is the man from heaven, so also are those who are of heaven, heaven-minded. Which is kind of cool. Because you see, between my mom and my aunt, there could hardly be any communication. And she knew it. My mother would just not communicate about the things that the Lord had done with her or for her, because she knew it would raise a real big issue. And I can remember driving home with Mom, and we discussed the photograph. She says, "You were kind of sneaky." I said, "Mom, it was time to educate your sister." Amen. She says, "Yes, it was." She says, "And I enjoyed it." But she says, "You should have heard her for the next couple of days." Because, again, the seeds were breaking open, okay? Those seeds of life and the photograph, she felt rejected when I wouldn't accept that photograph. And I would not accept it because it represented what my aunt was, not what my aunt is now. Because I knew, and I wanted to say more, but the Holy Spirit kept saying, "She can't handle it. She can't handle it. There's times that you can open up, but shut up." Okay? Well, it wasn't easy, but I did. 49. "And just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, so shall we, and so let us also bear the image of the man of heaven, Jesus." Ah, what a victory. When you and I can bear the image of the man of heaven, our Savior and Lord. See, that's something that my aunt couldn't taste, because her experience, even though she was meditating, she was praying, she was reading her devotionals, never really tasted what I had the privilege of tasting. And I knew it. And I had to be quiet. I didn't like it. I wanted to say so much more, but it would have created a new problem. And God still did it. But I tell you this, verse 50. "Brethren, flesh and blood cannot become partakers of the eternal salvation and inherit or share in the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable, that which is decaying, inherit or share in the imperishable or the immortal." Now that is, again, something that you can look at, but to say that you can comprehend it would probably be saying, well, I can really understand what Jesus went through, but you've never died yet. Okay? So the imperishable and the immortal will be tasted when the Lord allows us to go forward and taste. "Take notice, I tell you, a mystery, a secret truth, and even an event decreed by the hidden purposes or counsel of God. We shall not all fall asleep in death, but we shall all be changed, transformed." Okay, now, I want to put this on park for a moment. Noah was preaching to those that could have never seen a drop of rain. He was preaching for 120 years, and they didn't get it. There's many preachers today that are preaching that there was a change coming in us when we become like Jesus. And when that transformation takes place, what's going to happen to the unbeliever?
Shock and awe.
Shock and awe. I like that. You see, when my mother went home to be with the Lord, There was a heartbrokenness, but there was also a spiritual joy because the suffering had been finished. And watching Bob at the nursing home, no fun. Watching John deteriorate, no fun. But the joy of they being with Jesus, having now been transformed into that other realm, gives you and I an ability to believe, but we can't advertise it to the unbeliever many times because they cannot handle it. The mind of Christ is not in them, and you're talking and really saying stuff they cannot contain. When I look at what God has done, I'm talking about me now. The experiences over the years were for its own purpose. I don't always connect the dots. But more and more I'm saying to the Lord, I know you've given me these as, let's say, building blocks to get me to a certain place. And what you're going to do tomorrow is really up to him. It's not up to me. It's up to me to be ready for whatever he wants to reveal. So when we put my mother's body in the ground, all my flesh was not having a great time. But I'll be honest with you. Today, the heart is healed from the emotional division, okay? And the joy of seeing her in my mind's eye, full of joy and full of life, it's something that I can't explain unless you've tasted it for yourself. And when you've tasted it, you're no longer feeling sorry for yourself, which is the soul trying to rule. When self-pity comes in, watch out, you're in trouble. Whenever you are focused on what you haven't got, you're heading for trouble. But when you're really focused on the promise that those that have gone before us are in that cloud of witnesses, and they are doing things that you and I couldn't imagine. Okay? 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet call. For a trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, free and immune from decay. Wow, what a day. And we shall be changed or transformed. Or transfigured. For this perishable part of us must put on the imperishable nature. And this mortal part of us, this nature that is capable of dying, must put on immortality. Must. Doesn't say, well, it'd be a good idea if you try. You must put it on now. You see, there was a discussion about Royal the other day and what he was for me. He was an irritation on this subject right here. Kim, are you ready to put on immortality now? And my brain would say, I know what he wants to hear. But I also know that there's a lot of unbelief in me. See, we're all related to Thomas. If Jesus showed up right now and the seven of us saw him, talked to him, ate bread, drank some wine with him, and we had an incredible party, Tuesday night we would be still flying high, and the others that would walk in would say, well, what happened to you guys? right? Well, what would we say? We should all share our personal testimony of what it was like to be here on Sunday morning on Mother's Day when Jesus showed up. And how many would literally be awakened to the truth that whatever priority they had should have been changed? Thomas shows us what that type of person happens to go through. And then when he gets broken and he realizes he's not about to put his hand, because it was just his unbelief talking. How much unbelief is still in me and you? If our mothers that are gone on the other side showed up and had dinner or communion with us today, how would you feel when you got home? How would your relatives react when you told them, oh, you know what? Grandma was with us today. Yeah, right.
Yeah, she's losing it.
You are out of your tree. They would react no different than my aunt. Because she just never, it never entered her mind. The mind of the flesh does not want to take the mental reality of the realm of the spirit. It doesn't want to, because you know what? Then it has to change. And I don't like change. I like comfy. Don't turn my pillow over until I'm ready. I like my pillow the way it is. Got it?
Amen.
All right. I'm going to back it up. 53. For this perishable part of us must put on the imperishable nature, and this mortal part of us, that nature that is capable of dying, must put on immortality, freedom from death. Woohoo! That's your future. Freedom from death. Freedom from the fear of death. I'm not there yet. I'm on my way there now. Because my unbelief has indefinitely been working on. For years, he's working on my unbelief. And why? Because I need it. A swift kick wherein adjustments can be made in the brain comes from below. And when this perishable puts on the imperishable, and this that was capable of dying puts on freedom from death. How clear do you want it? Then shall be fulfilled the scripture that the day, that future that says death is swallowed up, utterly vanquished forever in and unto victory. Okay, days of Noah. Could this be what's been prepared for us? I'm not saying it is or isn't, because truthfully, I don't know. But Isaiah 25:8 says, total victory over death. 55. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Hosea 13:14. Now sin is the sting of death, and sin exercises its power upon the soul through the abuse of the law. There's a sneaky one to sneak right in there, isn't it? Don't you like St. Paul's little twist, and then he shoves it and he turns it a little bit? Sin is the sting of death, and sin exercises its power upon the soul through the abuse of the law. If you can digest that little piece, it's going to change your attitude. and it's going to change your altitude. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the works of the Lord. That is always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile, never wanted or to be to no purpose. When I got done with that, I heard this song in my heart. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, lives in me, lives in me. If the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, lives in me, then he will quicken my mortal body if his Spirit dwells in me. Yes, he will quicken my mortal body as his Spirit dwells in me. Sing it together. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, dwells in me. It's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me, dwells in me. Yes, he shall quicken this mortal body as his Spirit dwells in me. Yes, he will quicken this mortal body as his Spirit dwells in me. And now, Father, for the mothers that are listening to this message, having a mother on the other side and having a mother in our home, having our mother for a sweet moment from the realm of the Spirit is my prayer for each and every one. I give you praise that your Holy Spirit is working a work inside of each of us, where the soul, the mind, will, and emotions will lose control, and the Spirit will gain an ascendancy and in power for his glory in Jesus' name. Any additions?
So going back to Hosea.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's why death has lost its sting for us, because it no longer has the law to apply to us, since the law was nailed to the cross.
Yeah.
It was completely fulfilled.
Completely completed, and there's nothing else for us to do, right, just to accept it. Right. And then to digest it is something different.
Well, there's three. There's a process.
Yeah.
You have to understand, you have to know that it exists before you can understand it.
Amen.